Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show. I'm Greg Jarrett, pleased to be filling in for Sean. I'm a Fox News legal analyst. Follow me on Twitter at Greg Jarrett. Read my legal columns and listen to my podcast, The Brief, on my website, thegregjarrett.com. And also, you can pre-order my brand new book, The Trial of the Century. It's available online, again, for pre-order right now at barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. Now, hearings are taking place on Capitol Hill, digging deep into whether Dr. Anthony Fauci manipulated public opinion to conceal his own role in funding dangerous experiments inside the Wuhan laboratory in China, where the deadly coronavirus may well have leaked, killing more than 6 million people worldwide. Joining me now to talk about it is Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. He's chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, also a member of the Oversight Committee, and importantly, the subcommittee that's investigating Dr. Anthony Fauci's suspected misconduct and cover-up. Congressman, thanks so much for being here. I watched the recent hearing of your subcommittee, and Dr. Robert Redfield was testifying that gain-of-function experiments, in his judgment, probably created and caused the virus, and it almost surely leaked from the Wuhan lab, killing more than 6 million people worldwide, more than a million Americans. Are you persuaded that Dr. Fauci played a role in all of that by spending U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund these dangerous gain-of-function research experiments inside that very Wuhan lab?
Yeah, Greg, I am convinced that's what happened. And maybe more importantly, I'm convinced that Dr. Fauci tried to cover it up and downplay it after he discovered what had happened. And remember, the task force gets formed on January 29, 2020. 2 days later, January 31st, 10:32 p.m., Dr. Fauci gets an email from Dr. Anderson. The email says, virus looks engineered, virus not consistent with evolutionary theory. The next day, he gets another email from Dr. Gary, which says, virus, I don't know how this happens in nature, but it would be easy to do in a lab. Dr. Fauci gets those two guys on a conference call. After the conference call, 3 days later, those two guys changed their story 180 degrees. I think the reason they did that is because Fauci got him in line and said, fellas, we can't have this information getting out that we had funded gain-of-function research in a lab in China that was not up to code and was doing this gain-of-function research where this virus most likely started. So that I think is what happened. And Dr. Fauci had to cover that up because he didn't want that information getting out there knowing he had done what he had done.
Yeah, he had to conceal his role and absolve himself in the deadliest man-made catastrophe, one of them, in history. Now, Congressman, the NIH now admits that it funneled money through a third party to that Wuhan lab for experiments that, quote, had the unexpected result of creating a coronavirus that was more infectious. That's a quote from the NIH. And the agency produced the records proving that they'd done that. So when Anthony Fauci denied that NIH ever funded gain of function research, exactly these kinds of risky, deadly experiments, I mean, he was lying, wasn't he? And the last time I checked, lying to Congress is a crime. It's called perjury, as well as false statements to Congress. Would you agree?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, they juiced up this virus, but Dr. Fauci tried to say somehow that that really wasn't gain of function, even though that's exactly what happened, even though Dr. Redfield says that he believes it was gain of function research being done at this at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Here's the other thing that I think is important. When those emails come out right at the start, January 31st, February 1st, when those emails come out, Dr. Fauci doesn't share them with Dr. Redfield, who's on the coronavirus task force. He doesn't share them with anyone else in the government. Just him and Dr. Collins get these virologists on a phone call, get their story straight. 3 days later, those same virologists said, I don't know how this happens in nature, but it'd be easy to do in a lab. Those same virologists change their tune 180 degrees and say now they say anyone who thinks it come from a lab, you're a nut job, you're a conspiracy theorist. So the only intervening event seems to be that conference call where Fauci and Collins get on there and tell them what they're going to now stick to, what their story is going to be. And of course, as we pointed out in the hearing, 3 months later, both Dr. Anderson and Dr. Gary, these two virologists, they get a $9 million grant from Dr. Fauci. So I think his actions after this virus breaks out also confirm the idea that they were doing gain-of-function research at that lab.
Yeah, and Fauci is trying to parse words here. He's trying to change the definitions by saying, well, I didn't fund gain-of-function research. I funded reverse genetics. Well, I went through some of his past speeches in which he said reverse genetics is gain-of-function. So he's coming up with a vapid excuse to try to get out of potential perjury charges.
No, he sure is. And this is one of the things we should do, Greg, is we should pass legislation that says we will not be funding gain of function research. And frankly, at a minimum, we shouldn't be funding it and doing it in China, for goodness sakes, with American tax dollars. So this is scary stuff. The other thing I think is real important, we're now hearing from the left and from Fauci and some of them, they're saying, well, it could be nature, it could be a lab leak, we're not sure, but, you know, we need to move on, well, that's not what you said back 3 years ago. You said anyone who questioned the bat to a pangolin to a hippopotamus to Joe Rogan, the nature theory, anyone who questioned that, they were crazy. They were conspiracy theorists. And you censored people online like Dr. Bhattacharya. So you did all kinds of things. And now it's like, oh, well, you know, everything's fine. Let's move. That is not how this works. When you did the kind of things that you did to people who were expressing a different opinion and frankly had a different hypothesis about how this virus began.
I think, as I said in my introductory remarks, I think Fauci is panicking now because he realizes that he's been caught and caught lying to Congress, which again is perjury. So the other day he blubbered on CNN, prosecute me for what? This is craziness. What are they talking about? I mean, this is a guy who strikes me as realizing that, you know, you on the congressional committee have got his number. And, you know, I would like to see the Department of Justice conduct a criminal investigation, not into Fauci, not just into Fauci's role in helping to create this virus inside a lab, but then lying about it. What are the chances DOJ would do that?
Well, they're probably pretty slim, but let's hope so. And here's the broader context as well. This wasn't the only thing he told us that wasn't true. I mean, think about it. They told us it wasn't our tax dollars. They told us it wasn't gain of function research. They told us it didn't leak from a lab, but they also told us there's no such thing as natural immunity. First virus in history, no such thing as natural immunity. I mean, think about that. They told us that the vaccinated couldn't get the virus. They told us that the vaccinated couldn't transmit the virus. They told us that masks work. I mean, everything they told us turned out to be false. And while they're telling us all these things that turned out to be untrue, they were censoring people who were saying things that were actually true. So that is the broader context. And it's why so many people are so frustrated and fed up with the 3 years of frankly, false information coming from our government, and in particular coming from Dr. Fauci.
Let me switch topics now, if I may. My guest is Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committees and the Oversight Committee. Let me switch topics to something that you're dealing with on the other committees, and that is the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden influence peddling investigations. You're a top member of the Oversight Committee. After resisting for so long, the Treasury Department is finally giving you access to the many, about 150, suspicious activities reports in which U.S. banks flag transactions that bear signs of money laundering and other criminal activities involving the Bidens. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think the key term is the title of these reports. They're called suspicious activity reports. And as the name would suggest, the name would imply that it's about suspicious banking activity. So maybe you have an account with very little money in it, and all of a sudden, shazam, here comes several million dollars being transferred into this account and then right away moved out and payments are made to Biden family members. Maybe you have accounts that are moving money amongst various different accounts. These are all kind of things that raise suspicions at the Treasury Department and at these banks. And so Chairman Comer has been trying to get a hold of this information for a long, long time. It looks like now, finally, staff and members will be able to go view them in camera. I don't know why. I think in the past they were actually given to the chairman. But in this situation, they're saying, no, you're going to have to come in and look at it. You can't take anything out. You're going to have to come in and take notes and look at the information. So that's a step in the right direction, but we'll see. But again, when you have this many, 150 is what's been reported, suspicious activity, at banking records, I think that says a lot, and we'll see what the documents show.
The chairman of the Oversight Committee, James Comer, says that the first SARS report shows money going from China to three Biden family members. And also your committee subpoenaed the banking records of three of Hunter Biden's business associates, including John Rob Walker. And Congressman Comer has said publicly that Walker was wired roughly $3 million from Chinese Communist Party connected individuals. And then Walker forwarded the money to three Biden family members. And I suppose the question is, what were those three Biden family members doing for millions in cash? What do you think?
Yeah. What was the service? What was the work? What was the expertise? What was done to warrant that kind of money? What were they being paid for? I think that is the fundamental question. And frankly, I don't have an answer to it. I don't know who does. But I know that Chairman Comer and the committee is committed to finding an answer to that sort of fundamental, foundational question. What were they providing that warranted being paid this sum of money? If it's something legitimate, some legitimate business, okay, that's one thing, but we don't know what it is. Were they providing legal counsel? I don't know. Now, supposedly it's somehow connected to an energy interest that these Chinese businessmen had, which is kind of a concerning thing in and of itself. So we don't know, but again, that's the question I think we have to answer, and that Chairman Comer and the committee are committed to finding out.
Yeah, that Chinese energy deal with CEFC, the Chinese company, again, with close ties to the Communist Party, that netted the Bidens roughly $6 million. Are you convinced, Congressman, that Joe Biden was involved in his son's schemes?
Well, we have an eyewitness who was part of this business operation, at least at one point, who came forward a few years ago, Mr. Bob Alinsky. You have the emails that people say now are authentic. We thought they were authentic at the time, of course, that are part of the laptop. So you got documents that suggest that strongly. You got an eyewitness who was part of the business operation who says that. I think that's pretty compelling evidence. And then, of course, now you have these 150 suspicious activity reports that we're going to get a chance to begin to look at. So I think all that raises all kinds of concerns. Did it involve Joe Biden? I guess the short answer is we don't know, but there's a lot of evidence that seems to point in that direction. And again, one of the piece of evidence is an eyewitness who was part of this deal. So I think that's why we do the investigation, to make sure the country has the facts about what went on.
Merrick Garland testified recently, and insisted that there was no need for him to recuse himself, even though the federal regulations require it. They demand it. It's not optional, but he won't do it. And his excuse is, well, the U.S. Attorney David Weiss in Delaware, he has complete independence to do whatever he wants. Here's what I don't get, and I think many listeners don't get. Weiss has been investigating this now. It's into its fifth year. How is, and no criminal charges have ever been filed, despite a plethora of evidence on the laptop alone. How is it possible that you can conduct a five-year-long investigation into the president's son, and likely the president himself, and no criminal charges? I bet you're asked that question as well. And what do you usually say? What are your suspicions, Congressman?
And then there's another fundamental question, and you've raised this. I think maybe you are the first to raise it, is how was the decision made not to appoint a special counsel? And I'm not saying you have to have a special counsel here, but this would look like the one situation that would most warrant a special counsel. So how was that decision made? Who was involved in saying no to a special counsel? Was it raised at all? I think, you know, we have a special counsel for President Trump. We have one now for the classified documents with President Biden. How was this situation not fit that category? So I think that's a fundamental question also. I don't know why it takes 5 years. I think a lot of people are asking. The only one who would have that answer is the U.S. attorney in Delaware, I guess, and Merrick Garland. But I don't know that we're going to get any information from these guys if we ask that question.
All right. Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, top member of the Oversight Committee, also on the subcommittee investigating Dr. Anthony Fauci's cover-ups. Congressman, many thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
You bet, Greg. Thanks for all the good work you do. Take care.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break. I'm Greg Jarrett, filling in for Sean Hannity on The Sean Hannity Show. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my this idea of what is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Standing up for what's right with America. We're back on the Sean Hannity Show.
Welcome back to the Sean Hannity Show. I'm Greg Jarrett, filling in for Sean. I'm happy to be here. I'm a lawyer and Fox News legal analyst. Follow me on Twitter at Greg Jarrett. You can read my legal columns. Listen to my podcast, The Brief, on my website, thegregjarrett.com. And my new book, The Trial of the Century, is available now for pre-order online. Publishers Weekly calls it a colorful, dramatic account of one of the most consequential free speech debates in American history. Well, the book is about the famous Scopes Monkey Trial, a young school teacher in Tennessee, handcuffed, arrested, charged with teaching the science of evolution in a public school, which at the time was banned. Legendary defense attorney Clarence Darrow's withering cross-examination of fundamentalist leader William Jennings Bryan, described at the time by the New York Times as the most amazing court scene in Anglo-Saxon history. Well, you can read about it in my new book, Trial of the Century. Pre-order it now at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or other booksellers online. I also have a new column out on my website. It describes how Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg appears determined to indict former President Donald Trump on legally feeble charges over the 7-year-old episode involving Stormy Daniels. And in a remarkable legal somersault, Bragg wants to turn a dubious misdemeanor business records violation into a felony by bootstrapping some imagined campaign violation. Joining me now to talk about it, as well as the latest on the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden investigation into suspected influence peddling, John Solomon, an award-winning investigative journalist. He is the CEO, founder, and editor-in-chief of Just the News, one of the best websites online. And John, thanks for being here. Always great talking to you. Before we get to the Biden investigation, what's your reaction to what Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg is doing here, resurrecting this dead 7-year-old case against Trump based on what I describe as a cockamamie interpretation of the law, no credible evidence. And of course, the star witness, Michael Cohen, an admitted liar. He went to prison for his dishonesty, and he obviously has an axe to grind against Trump. What do you make of this?
Well, listen, if your case depends on a porn star and two disgraced lawyers, because you got two of them here, Michael Cohen and Michael Avenatti, you're probably in some big trouble. And there are two ways that the modern judicial system seems to weaponize charges. One is by bringing them into court. The other is by leaking them and trying to change a perception in the court of public opinion. And the amount of leaks and detail that have been coming out of an investigation that should be done in secret, I think concerns anyone who cares about the integrity of the investigation. It seems as though the prosecutors and their witnesses are trying to try this case in the press before a grand jury gets a legitimate chance to judge the credibility of the evidence and the witnesses. And, a lot of people I've talked to, I always try to keep an open mind. A lot of people I've talked to said this is an enormous legal stretch. These are Democrat and Republican lawyers and former prosecutors who said, listen, this, unless there's something we don't know, this is a big stretch. And I'm going to take you to one of them who we all know very well. We've all talked to him many times, Alan Dershowitz. Now, let's put Alan Dershowitz in perspective. He's openly and avowedly liberal. He He says he voted for Joe Biden in 2020, but he wrote a column in the last couple of days stating very clearly that the effort to try to bring charges against Donald Trump in New York on this Stormy Daniels matter was akin to what the Jim Crow Southern prosecutors tried to do in the 1950s to discredit civil rights activists, basically weaponizing a non-existent charge to try to change someone politically, harm someone politically. When a Joe Biden supporter is saying that, maybe the prosecutors in New York ought to take another pause and think about what they're really doing here.
Yeah, you would think Bragg would have enough on his plate with the out-of-control rampant crime in New York City. But instead, he wants to bring this politically motivated case based on zero evidence and zero law. It's really, I mean, it just speaks volumes about, you know, how New York City is being operated this day. But let me move on to something.
Right, let me mention one other thing that a lot of people might not remember, but it sure does show the dual system of justice. There was some stories back 4 or 5 years ago that in 2008, during the 2008 presidential campaign, Hillary Clinton had a staffer who had engaged in some form of bad sexual harassment, and they swept it under the rug. And the reason the victims couldn't talk in that case, and keep in mind that Hillary Clinton was based in New York at the time, the reason they couldn't speak was that she had executed non-disclosure agreements with the people that were involved. Interesting that a non-disclosure agreement was okay for a Democrat presidential candidate in 15 years ago, and even 5 years ago when it came to light. But they're the same circumstances with Donald Trump seems to have created some conceived criminal case. I do think that people ought to go back and look at that Hillary Clinton case. It's been a long time since I looked at it, but I remember it very clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you know, I mean, people should know that, you know, non-disclosure agreements are perfectly legal. But, you know, this is a DA who's trying to criminalize it and, you know, abusing his authority and position of power, weaponizing the law for a political reason, very much like my book, Trial of the Century, weaponizing, you know, the justice system for what was then political and religious reasons. They were banning textbooks in schools that had a chapter on religion. They were arresting school teachers for teaching out of the textbook, which was state approved. Again, weaponization of the justice system. Let me move on because you've got a terrific story out about how the Oversight Committee in the House has now been able, and I'm using your words, to penetrate a labyrinth of at least a dozen bank accounts that were used to funnel money from foreign sources to Joe Biden's family. Tell us about that, John.
Yeah, this is from an interview I did yesterday with Congressman James Comer, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. Yeah, they were given access to the suspicious activity reports that the Treasury Department has had on record for many years, flagging transactions in and around and involving Hunter Biden and his business partners. And he said from that and from separate witness testimony, because there are several cooperating witnesses, including a business partner very close to Hunter Biden, who also interacted with the finances of Joe Biden when he was vice president, that they now have identified at least a dozen accounts, and they expect there's going to be more, where money comes in from these foreign entities. It comes into LLCs. The LLCs move them to the private accounts of family members. And he said there are many family members involved in the sharing of this money. And then some of those personal accounts of the Biden family members then go on to pay off bills for Joe Biden, provide other financial benefits to Joe Biden. So as he said at the end of the interview, we are getting very close to Joe Biden. That this was not an influence peddling scheme that stopped at his son or his brother. This was one that ultimately provided some financial benefit to Joe Biden. And the reason that's significant to me is about 2 years ago, I corroborated some emails that were on the famous laptop that showed that Eric Schwerin, the business partner now cooperating with the congressional investigators, wrote Hunter Biden saying that he had paid some of his father's bills using Hunter Biden's money. And then later that Joe Biden wanted to repay his son for some of the things. So he was going to divert Joe Biden, the vice president, was going to divert some of his Delaware tax refund to repay some of the money that Hunter Biden had laid out for him. So this evidence gets further corroborated by the bank transfers that James Comer went and reviewed yesterday. And his comments are very important. He spent a lot of time talking about Joe Biden. He said, listen, if we corroborate this the way we think we're going to, Joe Biden might have a tax problem. He also may have an ethics problem because gifts and loans to elected officials are supposed to be disclosed on your ethics form. So you can see where this investigation is going. The bullseye has moved from Hunter Biden and his tax issues and all of his other quandary problems to the president himself based on the cash flow that they now see.
So, John, this money is being funneled to the Bidens through limited liability corporations, shell corporations, to evade detection, one would assume. That smacks of money laundering, doesn't it?
Well, that was always, as you know, a concern that Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley, who first looked at the SARs back in 19 and 20, raised. It is a concern that some of the prosecutors who got referred this information, the Delaware prosecutor, Mr. Weiss, also was reportedly looking at money laundering as one of the many possible things that went on here. It's very interesting. Listen, people could set up an LLC for a very legitimate reason, or you could use it as a shell corporation. What James Comer said in the interview yesterday, he's very specific, very precise with his words, is we looked at a lot of these LLCs, and they don't have any expertise for the work that they allegedly were doing, and none of the work ultimately ends up resulting in any real business deals. They look like money changes hands, but no business deal gets executed. He uses the Chinese energy company and some other examples. So when you see a company set up for a purpose, but it actually doesn't do that purpose, and the only thing it does is money comes in, and then it's immediately thrown out of the account to a personal account, it looks like they're laundering money to potentially gain political influence inside the Biden family. That's the suspicion. That's the concern. There's another element that he's tied together, why he really believes that this isn't just, you know, bad business deals, that this is an influence peddling scheme. He says that in the last year of Joe Biden's vice presidency, he's thinking of returning to the public sector, private sector, after 40 plus years in political office. He says that Joe Biden starts meeting with a lot of the business partners that are funneling this money to his son. So he's directly involved in the engagement with these business partners. He's meeting with his son's business partners who are moving the money to family members, and family members then moving the money to provide some personal benefit to Joe Biden. That's a very important evidentiary line. Again, we want to wait and see. Did Hunter Biden, Joe Biden deserve the assumption of innocence, the benefit of doubt until we get all the facts out there? But Comer's very careful, very specific, and you kind of get a sense what evidence he's now relying on. Bank records and cooperating witnesses, much like a mob prosecutor would. A very interesting moment in this investigation.
Yeah, I think they've turned a corner because now the Biden Treasury Department is finally being forced to give the Oversight Committee access to the roughly 150 suspicious activity reports that the banks flagged to the Financial Crimes Unit at the Treasury Department. In other words, we suspect these are representative of potential crimes. They've also subpoenaed the records of John Rob Walker, a close business partner of Hunter Biden, you know, $3 million wire transfer to Walker, and then he distributes it, according to the evidence, to various Biden family members. And, John, we're talking about, you know, not just a couple of family members, but, you know, apparently, according to Chairman Comer, you know, we're talking about six or seven Biden family members, right?
That's what it looks like. Yeah. And a dozen accounts, half dozen family members. He said one of them shocked them. It's not a name they've put out there yet. We've talked about some brothers and, of course, Hunter Biden, some business partners and friends. He said one family member shocked James Comer. He was shocked to see that this person was involved in receiving money and forwarding it on to the family. We don't know who that person is. We're digging deep into that, but it does it does raise a lot of questions about how far ranging was this, who got benefits. We know from earlier testimony, an uncle and an aunt of Hunter Biden were going on a shopping spree funded, we believe, by a foreign entity. There's a lot of rumblings, but now he's saying there was a previously unknown member of the family who routed money from a foreign entity up and through to the president or to the president's family. And so we're watching that very closely. There's a pattern, and I think that's one of the things that James Comer stressed. It didn't happen just one or two times. It's over and over again. And almost all of the payees, the countries that are doing this, are adversarial. Russia, Ukraine, China. He mentioned yesterday United Arab Emirates. He said there's a Middle East connection we haven't focused on yet. All of those are countries, he says, that should raise a red flag, and they did raise a red flag at the banks. That's why the SARs were filed.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I want to make mention that you guys at Just the News, you're gaining access to more whistleblowers than anybody. And so people need to stay tuned for that, right? We've got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, we do. In fact, we're trying to hire some more reporters, and we're doing a little subscription campaign. And if you go to justthenews.com/subscribe, if you subscribe, we're going to take every money from the subscription to hire some more reporters. We need about four or five reporters. We're dealing with more than 50 whistleblowers in the last 6 months,
really?
Blowing the whistle on government wrongdoing under Joe Biden's presidency.
That is amazing. You are always all over this, breaking news, one of the best investigative journalists in America, John Solomon of Just the News. Go to the website, help them out if you can with this endeavor for whistleblowers and more reporters and so forth. John, many thanks for being with us here on the Sean Hannity Show. Appreciate it.
Greg, great honor. Can't wait to see your book. I'm getting excited.
Yeah, it's called The Trial of the Century, available now for pre-order online. We're going to take a quick break. More when we come back on the Sean Hannity Show. I'm Greg Jarrett, filling in for Sean.
It's time to take back America.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
And welcome back to the Sean Hannity Show. I'm Greg Jarrett. Coming up next, another one of America's best investigative journalists, Peter Schweitzer, also best-selling author. You're not going to want to miss our discussion about some of the latest breaking news. He's all over it. We'll be right back. I'm Greg Jarrett. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, did you know that Pure Talk saves the average family close to $1,000 a year when they switch from the big carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile? Well, that's right. You can save a fortune, and you get the exact same service as these big carriers. You get their ultra-fast 5G. You can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, and it's only $30 a month. And with Pure Talk, they are so sure you are going to love their service, they back it up with their 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee. So instead of paying a fortune to the big carriers, cut your bill in half with Pure Talk, my cell phone company. Then start enjoying great perks like a U.S. customer service team. They're going to make your switch easy, and you'll be supporting a company that's veteran-owned and shares your values and has you covered with their money-back guarantee. It's simple to make the switch. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword save now, from our friends at Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.